Blog Talk Radio.
This bomb from a nigga. Would you bitch this bomb from a nigga?
How long this show goes on for, we have 2 hours.
It can be 15 minutes. It can be 30 minutes. It can be 45. Who knows? Y'all know how I go when I have the floor. So we're not going to get into all the pageantry that we normally get into of the Black history, world history, birthdays, and all of that stuff. I have some things that I want to talk to you about, some things that I felt like I needed to come address without anyone in the studio, without stepping on toes, without making people feel any type of way. So in beholdence of that, I figured I should do my theme music, right? I'm gonna go dig in the closet, right? This is one of my favorite artists of all time. Let me say this. First off, let me do my opening, because we got stuff to get into, and I don't want y'all to think I'm a paranoid schizophrenic sitting up here having a debate with myself, because we're not. I want to say welcome to the Big Bap and Friend Show. I am your host, Big Bap. Please get comfortable to fuck at night, because we're going to be a little ignorant. So get your drink. I got vodka and guava juice. Don't know what you're going to drink on, but I need you to get nice. If you smoke a little something, put something in the bowl, roll a blunt, get a bong. I don't know your formula, your recipe, but do you. Get good tonight. Put the kids in the bed. This is, again, if you listen to my show by now, you should know that this is a rated R to X show. I don't know what you're wearing. I just got on socks. So welcome to T-Spot Studios. DJ's Roundtable presents Big Bap, the personality profile, person, place, or thing. And some of my other personalities may do some cameos tonight. I don't know, but we're going to start with Big Bap because I got some things to address. So if I was going to do an intro for tonight's topic of how I would do intros and how I do songs and how songs jump into my spirit, this is what I would do for this this episode of Big Bap and Friends. So we're going to take it away with Bun B off the Truro album, The Inauguration.
Yeah, Rebelite back in the house once with the privilege of the trio from B, the new president of the South. Joe Bun, it's your time, and we dedicate this one to all our brothers and sisters who suffer at the hands of the enemy.
It's been a long time since Buddy finally came for Bud B to get it from the fucking shot in the game. I'm gonna walk in and every trio nigga to put, and I'm a gangster from my head to my foot. Nothing is good, I got the hood behind me. Three, four, five, the head cornered in the ghetto, man. You know where to find me. The business is laid out and the vision is clear. From this moment, I'm from the top and everything down here. That go for corners and cuts, trap, pops, and blocks. Whether you're rapping or work, I got the shit on lock. I ain't went on the back, talking, sneak, dipping, or flexing. I'ma tell you how I feel, cause I'm a goddamn Texas. So I need to start eliminating the fraud, cause this is White House of cards. Deal with nothing but fraud. We gon' fight them hoes out, put the steel niggas. What happened in New Orleans is never happened again. No, they ain't doing much about nothing, but you got their flow, and I'm tired of the crunch. I'm an instigator change from the motherfucking top, cause this bullshit they pulling on my people got stopped. So I'm here to make a stand, take up the slack. Dirty stop, Fred Phoebe, you got your motherfucking back. It's a new king on the throne, and his crown is a hand-to-play street. See, now what fucking was that? Hell to the G.
Ooh-wee, y'all. I just want to let y'all know, welcome to the State of Big Bap. We are getting ready to go over things that I believe that we are where I'm at, where I think we are as a society, and where we can go in the very near future. Now, if you want to get in on this conversation, you got something you want to add, I'm going to be great and hospitious, all of y'all, because I'm not going to be hospitable, because I'd kick you the fuck out of here. I don't really care about feelings tonight. Like, you know, some of y'all have really been getting beside. Let me address that real quick. That's how we're going to start off with effective communication. If you'd like to call in tonight, the number is 319-527-6703. We're going to talk about highly effective communication. And in order to highly effectively communicate with some people, baby, let's understand one motherfucking thing. You got to be clear and concise with who the fuck you are. Some of y'all don't know yourself, and you trying to be clear and concise, and the shit you saying don't make sense to you. How the fuck it's supposed to make sense to us? Like, you knew it was stupid as you were saying it. We can see the wheels in your head turning as you are trying to say the dumb shit to us. Will y'all please stop and address y'all selves? Baby, in this season, some of y'all going to need to get to know yourself. A conversation is needed with yourself. But here's what y'all need to understand. A conversation is going back and forth until you get an answer. Why y'all acting like some people crazy because they have a conversation with themselves going back and forth to get an answer? The bitches that's not going back and forth and the people that's just either listening or just being told by themselves what to do, and there's no back and forth, that's on you. Your mom should have taught you better. Because you just out here making dumb decisions because you believe. Because, listen, I love having dialogue with people because I am a believer that you can get to some understanding if you go back and forth in dialogue with people. But what I'm not about is a lot of talking. See, this show is when I do the most of my talking. Throughout the day, I sit in silence and solitude most of the day. Most of my work does not require talk throughout the day. It requires typing. It requires emails. It requires a bunch of other stuff. But it don't require a bunch of talking. So when I choose to talk, when I have a decision to talk, when I decide to express the floor with you people, you have to understand I don't really care about your opinion if I choose to not care. Just like you don't have to care about my opinion just because you choose not to care. But where you get with that is your choice. So when people like me choose to interact with you because we would rather sit on an island somewhere completely docile away from everybody and anybody because what we normally have to do causes enough stress in our life by itself, adding you to the recipe just made it tiresome. Your energy, your presence, your aura can make it tight. So then when we go find people, like this song I'm going to play for my next commercial break, this is why some people don't like what I say sometimes, because there's certain songs that I tell people, see, when we get to a point where we don't care, I don't know why anybody from Utah is calling me directly, at 9:15, so we don't hang up on them. But people don't understand. When I tell people there's a reason why some people turn up the way that they do, it's not because they don't have the ability to do stuff. It's not because they don't have the ability to turn up and let it all hang out and show the other side of them. But what you don't understand, you silly motherfuckers out there, and I'm going to say it just like this, some of y'all silly motherfuckers, what you don't understand, when a person chooses to humble themselves, to dissolve themselves, to give you the best part of them without any distraction from the outer realm coming about, and you can't handle that, mishandle that, and or misuse it, it's your fault. You cannot be mad at other people because they no longer want to be mishandled, misused, and abused by you anymore. told. This don't just go for husbands and wives. This go for friends. This go for business partners, acquaintances, associates, because there's a whole lot of different ways you can outlive yourself in somebody's life. So when they leave you, then this is how the energy that they give off, you can't be mad. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black mom.
Damn, bro. I know you're waiting for my album to drop. I know you're waiting for my album to blind. I know you're waiting on that album to drop. I know you're waiting on that album to blind. Put your hands on it. A handstand for me. Turn around, pop it like an eight.
No time soon, sir. But that was one of my party songs back in the day. I used to really, 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 really get down. And what I tell people is this. When you are learning how to effectively communicate, you have to effectively tell people what season you in. The craziest thing that I when I mentor, right, so when I do lifestyle relationship coaching and mentoring, one of the things that I often have so many people come up to me and say to me is, should I say this to my mate? Or should I say this to a person that I'm pursuing, that I'm interested in? And here's 9 times out of 10 what my answer is to them. Yes, if it was important enough for you to think about it, it should be important enough for you to tell them. See, when I'm in a relationship, one of the things that I tell you is, baby, I can't tell you everything that I've done before you. That's a lot of motherfucking days, times, and hours. But when I remember them, I will share those memories with you. When it comes to the forefront of my mind, I will give you that a piece of you. But I'm not going to go into a relationship of any kind having to relive my past. because if you're making someone relive your past, and this is the number one thing that I teach relationships, if you're making someone relive your past, y'all are not present together in the moment, and you're not focusing on tomorrow. My wife will tell you, she's heard that shit so much time. She don't even like talking to me no more. When she start talking about the past too much, honestly believe that conversation pops in her head, and she just be like, and they don't even get no fuck no more. And the craziest part is now the stuff that she's telling me is really cool, so I really like listening. But for the most part, in life, I'm not a yesterday kind of guy. I love, you know, Boyz II Men was an amazing group. Yesterday was a wonderful song. The Beatles also covered it as well. And I'm not sure if anybody else want to take a shot at it after both of them two groups killed, right? But I'm not a fan of it. I don't care what we – man, I love my resume. Like, it's, you know, I tell people all the time, you do need people in your life to come and sit down and remind you all of the wonderful and great things that you did. You need someone who can say, nah, bitch, you deserve to pop your collar and put your pussy in the air and walk around here like you got big pussy energy. Because I know I can't talk for other dudes, but I know I got big dick energy. It's not the same. I'm very confident and comfortable in who I am. I've been this way my entire life. I'm not going to start changing today because it makes somebody else's ego feel better. Am I humble? Yes. Am I dangerous and reckless? Am I grounded and stable? See, we go back to that first point that I had when we first got on this podcast. Who are you? And do you address yourself? Once you begin to address yourself, your interactions with people will become so much greater because there's a true understand that it doesn't require that energy that you're giving off, won't even interact with you while you're giving off that energy. It would be like a parent looking at a toddler and the toddler's on the floor just having a fit, and this is like your first, like, child, so you don't understand why. So you just standing there looking at the fucker like, shit. Just, like, that's what you now begin to look like to people who now vibrate a little higher than you. Because there's three primary settings that all people vibrate. There's a low vibration, there's a medium vibration, and there's a high vibration. Low vibrational people are usually sunken and live there. And they begin to radiate literally at that energy. You have your medium vibrational people, your people who generally will either vibrate high or low when they get around people, but by themselves they're usually in that middle. Generally they're introverts too, or they're introverts with extrovert abilities, okay? And then you have your high vibrational. Your high vibrational people are people who, like, when you get around them, like, you get real, real energized, but then when you get from around them, you got to go take a nap immediately. I don't like getting around people like that because I'm already capped. So when we get into the room, like, believe it or not, me and my business partner, and I don't really talk about her much, but we vibrate so high off of each other, right, that when we actually do get around each other, one of us has to go take a nap. If we spend too much time together, we have to go take a nap because we both vibrate high. We both radiate a lot of energy. A lot of things get done when we're around. I tell people I love those types of business relationships where so much gets done, we vibrate. So then you have to, it's almost like, you know, it's like that thing that's super great together, like you have to cut it off. Like after like 30 minutes of us spending time together, it's like, okay, I need you to go do something else with your time and your energy. Not that I don't love you, not that you're not great, because we're great people. We genuinely enjoy each other's company from a great platonic space. But what people miss in that is we are constantly feeding each other high vibrational energy. Even when we stop to deal with issues, problems, because there's those things happen every day. Like Monday, if you came in the office on Monday, either one of us probably could have cussed and went off at a moment's notice on Monday. But at the end of the day, we were done and handled all issues by like 11:30. And we were already back to functioning. But because of what, you know, what came, you still have to vibrate. You still have to give off. You still have to help people. You still have to do all the things that you do on a normal basis while dealing with that low vibrational people. As soon as life happens, look where they go. It's always the attack. It's always the everybody else. It's always the defense mechanism. It's always the – and it's not because they're trying to be nasty. They are predetermined and trained to be that way, and it is hard. Listen to me, people. For those of you who want to be coaches and mentors and get into all the different things, let me give you a small piece of advice that you're missing on the topic. It is hard to change someone's mindset when it is embedded in them culturally, socially, economically, religiously, when those types of things permeate their every being, their every fiber. Getting someone to change is literally like getting someone to recognize that they have the ability to change. See, what we forget is Harriet Tubman's statement of fame. I could have freed however many the number was if they just believed they could be free. See, the belief system can free you and imprison you at the same time. There are people right now living in prison inside of their own head and their own body. It may, you know, and I don't want you to think that you can't be around low vibrational people, because you can. If you want to get in on this conversation, the number is 319-527-6703, because I hear some of y'all like, ooh, I got stuff I want to say. So hit the number again, 319-527-6703. You're welcome to call in, leave a comment, up to the production manager in the background. But it's okay to understand that everyone that you deal with cannot, will not, may not, shall not, won't not understand who you are. You can believe that they have that ability to be all of those things in your life, and that is a great belief system for you, them, whoever. But the reality of it is they can't. They won't. I've been watching a lot of just videos of people nostalgically listening to, you know, just stuff. And so one of the things that's been circulating around Facebook is a lot of people have been going back and playing a lot of the Dirty Boys music, and it's great, and I love them as a group, but tonight I'm going to play my favorite song of theirs of all time. You don't have to agree with it, you know. You can have your own mode, your own plan. But when I heard this song, I thought I was going to have to change my life. Look, at one point when this song first came out, at one point, I almost became a pimp after listening to this song. Like I was about two more decisions away from I might have been a pimp after this song. So we're gonna take a quick commercial break. If you know when this song came out, you know the era I'm talking about. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
about to be. I need a whole top bar for me. And whenever I need a hand squeeze, they hit the top for me. My pretty bitch need not to be. If a white folks come and get the whole top bar for me, in the back, do a little side. Please see some eyes, you better keep the head locked for me. Let a nigga wanna lose control. Whenever I'm with them, I just wanna drink booze and throw. Yeah, baby, you ain't nigga check. You got a nigga so wanted that I can fuck you out your shoes and clothes. Them other bitches, I lose them hoes. If you think that, don't take it for the food and chores. I'ma make a nigga bruise the nose. I had your ass on the grass, walking to the bruise and soul. Just like a black ass through the road.
Get them to give you head to that middle verse and just tell him If you know the song, just right there, just listen, ma'am, I just need you to understand. If he good at what he do, what's going to be good to you is going to be good for, oh, listen, come on, somebody. I just passed the offer and played around real quick. Y'all give me my pesos. I'll take any form of currency at this point. Let's get back into it because I got y'all tripping a little bit. We're still talking about communication. And one of the things that I have learned about communication, I understood for myself it was going to be important early in life. And so people like myself who take to communication, one of the things we master early in life is sarcasm. Subtle sarcasm, intellectual sarcasm, mental sarcasm, musical sarcasm, sitcom sarcasm, movie reference sarcasm. Like there are so many different sarcasm and isms that we can give someone to play to our crowd around us that we don't realize for some of us, it becomes a part of our character. There are some of you ladies and fellas, but I'm going to mostly talk to the ladies for a second. Y'all need to hear this. The reason why you don't always get the door open that you won't open is the nastiness on your tongue. It's okay to be sharp. It's okay to be serious. Listen, anybody who's been around you, they can tell you when I go to serious tone. But you can be light. You can be airy. You can be a butterfly. You don't have to be the lioness all the time. You don't have to be the leader, the killer, the go-getter of everything. There are some situations that are predetermined that you become. Ooh, that almost didn't even want to come out. But I got to get that one out because I know what I was going to say. That one, that wasn't no misstep. Be comfortable in being catered to women. Stop thinking that a man is required to do something for you, and enjoy the men who understand that a man should. You're not arguing with a man when you're fighting and having discussions that they should have learned in elementary school. I don't want to hear this shit of, oh, what's the one, the quote that they like to throw around the most, right? 70% of men incarcerated come from single-parent homes, the woman being the single parent. My mom was a single parent most of my life. It's what you do in that home. It's the resources you get that child to in that home. It's all of those things. But your attitude and how you adjust and don't adjust things dealing with you, play a point. Here's one rule that I have when I mentor, right? One rule that I have. You will be humble, but you will address anything that dealing with your name. That's a mentor staple of mine. If you don't believe me, go ask anybody who's played in my name. Go ask the people who worked with me when those people were playing my name. Because what we're done, like, I love it. Nia Long, my only celebrity crush. Listen, my wife will tell you. Anybody who has known me all my life know I love me for Nia Long. Listen, when I saw her, oh, I might have to play the soundtrack. Don't make me play the soundtrack. Y'all gonna make me get all melancholy on in here. You know that's a melancholy movie. We trying to stay upbeat tonight. But she said something, and it was so moving and riveting for the statement that she said. And here's I'm not going to say verbatim, but here's an overview of what she was saying in the interview. She said basically her publicist or her manager, somebody, you know, in her inner circle of people close to her, basically came to her and was like, you know, she wasn't taking certain roles and things that was being offered to her at the time. And the girl, you know, the lady, woman, girl, was just like, it's almost like you don't want to work. And she goes, no, what I'm not going to do is not do something that I'm not comfortable with doing. I've been poor before. What people don't understand, people who get it from the mud, air quotes, those who get it from the mud, going back to that is not scary to them because they came from it. It's what so many people miss about. This is a real history lesson for some people who don't understand this concept. It's not that they are scared to going back to that. They come from it. What they're not willing to do is compromise their integrity. Theirs. You notice who it belongs to? It's theirs. It belongs to them, their ownership of themselves. They're not willing to compromise it for you, a dollar sign, a religion, a this or that or whatever, because that's their standard for themselves. So when people who meet people who have reached that level of security in themselves, not financial status, but security in themselves, to understand, I will never be lower than what I am now because I already know and experience lower and I set myself up to never have to experience that again. But you cannot tell me is what I now need to go out here and destroy my integrity for some cash. I don't give, and I say this because we in our own homes, in our own communities, in our own jobs are destroying our integrity because of what others are saying, will say, can say, is saying. And at the end of the day, fuck all of them. They got to be watching you mighty damn close to be able to tell everybody every the fuck thing about you. Bitch, are you fucking? Does your man like you? Because, I mean, obviously, we wouldn't know. You're constantly talking about me. Your focus is about me. And the people who don't understand that don't understand the reason why people who are trying to be and will be successful don't give no fucks about that is because I want the attention. Everything that you do, good or bad, adds to my brand, my build, because it's something about me, it's something about my brand, it's something about what I'm doing that is making those people over there lose their mind. Think about it. Michael Jackson had bitches passing out at the concert on the front row. I am a huge Michael Jackson fan, but like, I'm not passing out nowhere for nobody. But for him to have people literally having record-breaking fevers and all types of just random stuff, we're not talking about third-world countries now. We're talking about major, strong financial nations of concerts, of people who can afford whatever his ticket price is, because I'm pretty sure it was through the roof even for that time period. Everybody's built a slight difference. But ladies, it's okay to be humble enough to allow men and or women, depending upon which way you swing. I'm not trying to tell you how to get your vagina ate. If you like a masculine tongue, that's great. If you like a more feminine tongue, that's great. There's slight differences in both. If you like a contorted consortium of things down there, that's great. We're all different. The greatest thing about being human is you get to be different. You get to actually decide what you like, don't like, what you believe, don't believe. People are going to call you crazy. People are going to call you weird. I believe in a poly lifestyle. my wife is non-monogamous. I don't know what that means. We've had multiple debates on what that means, and she's given me a different variational answer to it every time that she's ever answered that question. And so we live in a state of happiness because we don't have to define it. We can figure it out as it comes along. Give yourself some freedom and some space to actually have dialogue. Not everything has to be a rigid yes or no, but things that should be a rigid yes or no, we should be able to get to a certified, guaranteed answer. We shouldn't be playing games with serious things. See, I call them crucial conversations. Like, let me give you an example real quick, and then we'll go to a commercial break and see if anybody wants to call in. One of the things that I teach, I learned this in a Stephen Covey seminar, and it's called Crucial Conversation. It's a whole topic and a thought piece on it, and I dwell deeply into this topic after I studied it. I think it's now been about 10 years I've been practicing this. So, 13 years, since 2010 I've been practicing. And so what I do is any conversation that is absolutely important, one of two things that I do, I either ask for five, depends on the length of what needs to be said, but generally 5 to 10 minutes of uninterrupted dialogue. I want you to hear what I have to say. I want you to hear the reasons behind it. I want you to hear everything that's dealing with it uninterrupted. And then after I'm done, you can choose. We go with one of three ways. You can answer it immediately. You can take a day and sleep on it. Or you can set the specified time that you need in order to return. Now, if I need it in a certain amount of time, because what you're going to say is going to determine something that I need to do in my life, then I'll let you know, hey, listen, I need an answer by XYZ date, da 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 da, because if not, then I'm going to go with what I just said, and you don't get a say in it. But in the crucial conversation, it's a conversation where one person truly gets to express what needs to be said, and then it gives the other person the opportunity to digest it and then to either have that conversation then because they're equipped and they're ready, or they can take some time and think and ponder, see the big picture, see everything that goes with everything, and then make a decision based off of the information that they put together. It is uniquely scary to have those types of conversations. And I don't want people to think that it's because it's a negative thing. It's just scary to have those types of conversations because you have to be vulnerable. You have to say everything. You have to share all the important. And this is why I say this is a crucial conversation. It's not just any conversation. This is a crucial, important conversation. So it's imperative that all the information is shared. You're not looking to have a one-sidedness type conversation. This is crucial. This is important. It's dire. Relationship statuses can be built to change. Money exchange with these types of conversations. Power control exchange with these types of conversations. Family dynamic changes are made because of these types of conversations. When we're talking personal. So when I say, crucial conversations, I give you a perfect example. When my wife decided she wanted to start her kidney transplant journey, we sat down and we had, months of crucial conversations back and forth, while agreeing to doing it, because we first had the crucial conversation of what it would look like for her to do it. And then we had, in the beginning stages, I think we walked because I like to walk. When one of the things when I do crucial conversations, I like to do them where people don't have power over the other person. So I like to, one of the best ways to do that is to go for a walk. You know, no one, no, the environment should be generally neutral. So like a park, so, or, you know, a mall or whatever, because what you want to do is you don't want to put the person in a position, like depending upon how serious it is, like you don't want to be in a crowded room. But at the same time, you don't want to also not put them in a position to where, you know, they should look around and take a deep breath. Because sometimes these conversations do warrant a reaction of, bitch, what? Like, we have crucial conversations so much, like, and so, like, we so raw with each other. Like, I don't really think too much anything, like, really bothers me. Like, you know. Like my wife completely misuses crucial conversations at this point, because she starts her crucial conversations with, hey, check this out. But now it's to the point where she's just like, I'm like you could have like really waited, like not now. Like, and it's cute and I love it, because we have this beautiful dynamic of sharing things with each other, because we're both very gifted at things that we love to do. But she's completely abusing crucial conversations at this point. But, you know, needless to say, a lot goes on in life. And if you're going to be in relationships with people, and when we come back after this commercial break, we're going to talk about the relationship sphere that a lot of people I think misunderstand. I don't really know the word I want to use there. I was torn. I was looking at both of these songs, and I don't know which one I want to play. I like them both, but if I was going to go with it, I'm going to go with this one, just because this the mood that I'm in right now. So y'all going to enjoy this nice quick commercial break with Big Bap, and we'll be right back.
Hey, motherfucker!
Oh.
Give up. bitches know you kept. And that sign that the police left. It's too late when you know this death. It's all gone, motherfucker said, stole your shit. You wanna kill him and you still do. The real lies, real killers get killed.
Because when you meet a person, unlike meeting me, I need you to understand, when you first meet me, I'm exactly who the fuck you thought you was getting. Like, there's no, you can make it anything more or less than what it is, but you're going to get me, unadulterated, pure in its format. I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm going to tell you what I am going to do, and you can do whatever it is that you want to do with it. There's not many people on earth just like that. Some say they are, but you'll find out real quick. There's still some things hiding in the background they didn't want you to know, right? But when you generally meet most people at work, at school, in life, at the grocery store, whatever, you're going to meet their personal representative. They're only going to give you as much as they trust to give you in that time. So because their trust factor and trustability is going to be very low with you in the beginning, there's going to be some things that they're not going to show you because they can't show you or they don't believe that they can show you. I personally don't give no fucks about who you are when you walk into my life. Not everybody thinks about that the way I think about it because I don't really care about who you are. You will show me who you are. I'm a believer in that. I don't care what you tell me. Show me. I can only ask you so many different ways to show me before I believe that you're not shit. Oh, and believe you. Believe you me. When I start realizing that you're not, because at the end of the day, anything that you ask me to do, if I agree to doing it, you can guarantee that it's done. I'm not a person, I will never be a person that you will have to go and ask or check on to see if I did what I said that I was going to do. If you ask me to complete a task, it's going to be done. How I operate, that's why I'm wired that way. Not everybody's wired that way. And so when you begin to meet people who have to present themselves in a way that makes them look good, you have to also be prepared for what comes back on the opposite end of that. Because no one's perfect. We all have our downfalls. We all have our problems. First thing I tell people, you probably can't hang out with me because I like to be naked. It's probably going to offend you. It's funny, when me and my wife first started getting together, a lot of the people in her life was mad because of how I chose to live my life. This is my lifestyle. I ride a bike for a living. That doesn't mean we go without groceries. That doesn't mean we go without cleaning supplies. That doesn't mean we go without doing laundry. But it's my choice on how I choose to live, just like yours is yours. But we don't present ourselves correctly for relationships, and then we get mad when a day, a week, a month, a year, someone finally seeing all the things that they need to see out of us, and they no longer want to interact with us. Because I tell people all the time, I don't believe we should be getting married unless we spend at least 3 to 5 years knowing each other. We don't necessarily have to date for 3 to 5 years, but I need to know you 3 to 5 years. All types of shit happen in 3 to 5 years. You got to see how they handle that shit. Grandma, some mom, some dad, some dogs, some cats, they might get fired from a job. They in their early 20s, they might lose a job and have to go start somewhere else and start over. They might go through a divorce. They might have a kid. Life happens. Without you. Just because y'all dating don't mean the kids y'all. Some of y'all, hell, just because y'all married. I mean, shit. Some of y'all really do need to go still petition for a paternity test. Like, I ain't trying to bash nobody. This conversation is for both, male and female. LGBTQ, I can't speak for y'all. I'm not you. Let me address that for the record going into 2023, since we're going to talk about effective communication. I don't support LGBTQ, because they accept pedophiles in their arena. Now, if you are somebody who identifies as LGBTQ that is non-pedophile friendly, then I have no problem with you. As an organization, they accept pedophiles. As an individual, as long as that's not what you stand for, we're great. If you stand for that, you got to go get into another seat. I want to be clear, because people want to misconstrue everything that you said. So let it be on the record. You have to go look for it. It's right here, episode whatever number this is. Let's be clear. I'm not a basher of any of that stuff you have going on. When I have people around who identifies as all those things, I let them speak for you because they are a better representation of you than I am, because I'm a heterosexual male. That's my identifiers. So you're looking for allies, you're looking for all the different terms that y'all want to come up with. Don't add me to the list because I don't know how to do those things that you're looking for adequately. The only thing I know how to do is give an opinion when my opinion is asked. I either agree or I don't. You can't change me because of your emotional feelings. So let's address y'all first. Now that we got y'all out the way, everybody else, listen. When it comes to relationships, y'all have to understand one of two things. Providing and protecting has nothing to do with financial status. It has nothing to do with access to resources. It has everything to do with whom you are and how you achieve the things that you need to achieve and how you effectively come about it. Sorry, I was getting all types of stuff. Everybody hit me up. Y'all like me tonight, okay? Let's get back to the topic, though. There is nothing when it comes to people, relationships, couples, individuals, business, all of these things. One of the most important things that you have to understand is that when personal representatives show up, you have to be able to identify the bullshit. You're willing to be gullible to the bullshit, then it's no one else's fault but yours. And what I mean by the gullible to the bullshit, if something doesn't make sense when you heard it and you didn't ask the follow-up question to get an answer, bitch, it's your fault. Oh, I'm big on your fault insurance. Ask my friends. I'll let you know at the door. Anything happened to you, it's your fault. You agree? Good. If you agree, you can come in. If you don't agree, please don't come in. Don't cross my threshold. When I have parties, I let people know we have your fault insurance. I ask every invited guest. And people are like, oh, what? Are you capable of taking care of yourself before we do anything else? Because if you're not, I would rather you not be here or someone else be responsible for you, because I'm not responsible for you. I'm not responsible for you unless I make myself responsible for you. Every last one of my clients will tell you they know exactly how I'm responsible for them. There's a contract in place, verbal and most written. Because you have to understand, if you're going to enter into a relationship, you have to understand your strengths and weaknesses first. Remember, we talked about this earlier. Remember, check in with you, know you, get to know you. Because if you don't know you, you're gullible to all of the shit that person is, no matter who and what and the status of and the power of that person is, if you aren't solidifying yourself. in all things, good and bad. But here is the part about the personal representative that y'all don't understand. The reason why the personal representative person getting to know you is hoping that they shown you enough to get you is because once you say I love you and once you say I do, whew, I made it. I can take the wig off. I can take the coat off. I can take the jacket off. I can take the shoes off. I can take the girdle off. I can take off the fake eyelashes. I can take off the makeup. I can take off whatever it is that I need to take off. And I'm just giving you the physical description. We're not going to unpack energy, and we're not going to unpack emotions, and we're not going to unpack trauma, and we're not going to unpack adversity, and we're not going to unpack shortcomings. We're not going to unpack ego. There's a lot of other things that you don't understand that they took off when they walked in the door after they finally got you to break down and love them and be in love with them. Oh, my God, this person loves me. Now I can tell them everything. And if you are not prepared for everything, when everything hits you, depending upon the life that that person lived before they got you, it can be a lot. You will quickly understand that when you begin to join someone else, that the paradigm that you live in and the paradigm that they live in are two different planets, even though y'all both live on Earth. Then you're going to be sitting down having some crucial conversations, trying to figure out if this relationship is even salvageable, because you probably should have just threw it away months ago, weeks ago, years ago, seconds ago, hours ago. When that birdie tapped you on the shoulder and was like, "Bitch, you should leave," y'all, some of y'all came back. Oh, this ain't just for the women. Men too. People ask me. People say, "Oh, you've been divorced and twice, and this is your third marriage." Well, my only answer to that one is, I don't stay anywhere I'm not wanted. That has been my answer for almost 20 years. I don't stay anywhere I'm not wanted. You get to choose how you live your life. You get to choose who's your mate. No one has control. I tell me and my wife have one of the most greatest belief systems in our relationship. I'm gonna give for those of you who are listening, who always ask me, why is it that my wife is so comfortable in her belief of who we are as a couple, is because we both have the greatest understanding of you can leave anytime you want to if you're not happy. I will not keep you if you're not happy. And believe it or not, I did not say that statement first. She actually said that to me. It's my belief system, but she said it to me first, and I was like, wow. Somebody who gets it, rock on, sister. Power to the people. There's no point in being with someone who does not want you. There's no point with being with someone who doesn't look at you with admiration. There's no point in being with someone who doesn't believe that you're worthy of praise of any kind. Not because you're with them, but because of who you are, because of what you bring to the planet, to what you bring to the community, to what you bring to your family, to what you bring to the dynamic of life. Someone, and you have to turn off your flame to be with them, y'all not in a relationship. You serve somebody, baby. I'm not saying that there's not give and take. But if you're telling me you have to turn your flame all the way off so they can be seen, it's not a relationship. Maybe that's one-sided. There's no reciprocity in that situation. A relationship has reciprocity. Because it's, if you look at the definition of relationship, it's how two things, whatever they are, because they give a list of things, person, place, noun, whatever, working together to achieve a common goal or whatever, outcome, life, whatever. So go look up the definition. I'm not trying to be Google or Jeeves. But they work together. It's a relationship. They work together. Two concepts working together. It's a relationship. So if we're going to be in a relationship, what you're doing or what we are doing can't be counterproductive to each other. They should work together. We should be able to build an outcome that we're so divine to chase together. But if you're in a relationship with something and it's being built, but it's not being built with any of the principles, any of the concepts, any of the ideas, any of the thoughts that you thought should go into it, then are y'all building it together, or is that sprocket doing everything while this sprocket is only turning because this one's overworking? Because eventually that one's going to burn out, and because this one already don't work, now nothing works because this one's doing all the work. The little one's doing all the work to even turn this big one. But now the little one's burning out, and this one's already broke. So if this one's already broken and this one's burning out, how do we expect for both sprockets to keep turning if one doesn't work and the other one is killing itself? And generally, when I ask that question in coaching and counseling and mentoring and business, I've said in front of people who make no money a year versus with people who make millions of dollars a year. And when I ask that question in most of my sessions, it gets extremely quiet, just like it did today. Because there is no best answer. You don't have to like the answer. You don't have to agree with the answer. You don't have to enjoy the answer. But there's absolutely the answer. So what do you do? How do you fix it? We're going to take a commercial break, y'all. This is, I'll just enjoy it, man. I don't even got no words. I ain't even going to break this one down. Y'all just enjoy the song. This is one of my favorite just gangster riding out just songs. All right? We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hey, Troy, hey, man. KD calling on something. He left a message, but you know what I'm saying? About three, four niggas out here in the custom 10 blocks, you know what I'm saying? You know, we fucked up, you know what I'm saying? You want to get them niggas, that's our way out.
Shit, you know, they're actually about to be straight, cuz.
Now, shit, we ain't even got to do it, my nigga. I know this nigga the shit, say so he want to be down with some. Nigga, that ain't big tune. Shit, we ain't going to do the shit. What's up?
Nah. They say he buried, motherfucker.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
I got it. I got that bitch on.
What?
Yeah.
For real? She did that?
She did.
Yeah. This all down town, this all them girls out here to show them somebody niggas.
It ain't many. So many clients be. Mine ain't run. I'm the eighth. That was out later. Come on. Yeah, see. Now I don't let this cat talk. Gave his word. Said this nigga had some birds. That's a gust of brother. We from the island. Soon the tank told me to shit. I started smiling. Cause all I could see was money time. Cause I'm for money. Now they can live with the money for the week. It's just a beat. The heat made my shit to take a break. If I could get the head of the bitches and I know the suspicions, I'm a better fucking poor for the eight. I'm okay. Papa, he's got me at fight. If you gon' do it, nigga, do it, nigga. Fuck like it twice. It feels a little bit light. I'm fighting five for five. 45. Look the phone, contemplating now who you got me doing. That Kia and Jessica and them run through it. Now Jessica too stupid and Kia lot too much. I guess I take Rhonda, Rhonda don't give a fuck. But first I got her papa up, I'm a thug, but not indeed. So if she really loves me, she don't do that for me. We finally will be together, for better or for worse. But first, we got to take these niggas to the hearse. First and they shit, get the bricks, come back out. I'm be waiting in the seven, no, I'm ready to take them out. Hit the front, you baby, come on. We make, we rich, come on.
My I'm more realer than reality. Don't sit in reality.
I don't want you to walk away with thinking that we're not talking about having these conversations from a place derived from my favorite spot. And they're derived from a place of love. Every single person that I attempt to engage, I try to either engage them from a neutral standpoint or a place of love. Neutral being, I don't know you, I don't know anything about you. I don't want to make any assumptions. I want to say what I can and can't do and be open and be honest and be transparent. And the other is from a place of love. Yes, I love you. Yes, I know you. Yes, I have a relationship with you. Still, this is a conversation of love, honesty, openness, and transparency. At any point, if I feel like it's not a duality, reciprocity-based conversation with them, with anyone, I no longer want to participate. You have to develop that same mindset, whether it be your children, whether it be your spouse, whether it be your supervisor, whether it be your coworkers. There has to be reciprocity in a relationship in order for it to be successful. If I'm only going to your job to get a paycheck, then leave me alone. Let me go to your job, do the job that you're paying me to do so I can get a paycheck. I don't need the conversation. I don't need to be your friend. I'm not looking to hang out at the work. I have friends. I have things I can do at the work. You have to develop that mindset. You have to be okay with being alone. When you go through your process finding yourself, healing yourself, loving yourself, some of that is solo. I mean, people will be near you get it when you go through. Because you're intentionally and purposefully focusing on oneself. Take time to hear people. Like, listen to understand. When I say hear, that is what I mean. Listening to understand. Not listening to respond, not having something to say, truly understanding. It's one of the things, the people that I know who do that, one of the things that, did you hear what they said? No, like, did you hear it, though? Like, they break down everything about it, the words, the tone, the interpretation. Like, they go through every. And they replay it, and they ask themselves questions, and they make sure that they understood. They listened to hear and understand. Because once you do that, you can give a response, or you can choose not to, based off the situation. But when you don't hear, I tell my wife all the time, don't talk to me when I'm watching sports. Why? I'm not going to understand. Anything that you said probably is going to get an uh-huh answer because I'm just trying to get you to move on real quick. So I tell her, you don't get to ask me anything of importance when sports is on because I know me. To begin to know yourself. It comes back to self-awareness, self-knowledge, self-education, self-indulgence. You can read books, you can read websites, you can read blogs. There's so many different types of ways to get information. As you begin to garner information, you'll begin to understand what is and what isn't. You'll begin to understand the sway and the slant and the viewpoint from the authors. All that stuff, that stuff that they teach you in school, you'll begin to be able to use it in your real life at some point. As you sit around tables and argue all types of dumb stuff to just realize it doesn't warrant a response and it doesn't need your energy. Anything that you're now trying to heal from, you'll likely go through it again. If you haven't already addressed it, address the issue. Move forward. Be great. Love yourself. Love others. Get away from the mindset that it's happening to me because. It's happening because you haven't addressed it. Address it. Deal with it. But everybody likes the outcome of what needed to be addressed. 9 times out of 10, when you're living in integrity and dealing with truth, people around you do not like you because it causes them to have to look at themselves. It doesn't make you better than them. It doesn't make you less than them, but it makes you as human. All right, so I love y'all. Oh, I got to give up a song to get out of here, too. I don't even know what I was going to play. I didn't have anything queued up. But we need something that's gonna take us out here and a little bit of fun. So here we go. I got you right here. We out of here. I love y'all. Be safe. Good night.
That's what we call it. For God, for the thugs, too.